you bow with me, please, for just a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our wonderful Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the difference that He's made in our lives by His grand and glorious work yonder upon the cross. Father, the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Father, I want to glory in Him who laid His life down for His people upon that cross. I want Your name to be exalted in this place today. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, for Brother Al. And our Father, we thank You for just being able to know Him. Yes. Lord, for the 28 years nearly that He and I were friends. I'm very grateful for Him. And now, Father, I want You to help me that I will say exactly what You'd have me to say. And, Lord, that You will get all glory and all honor and all praise. Would You speak words to each one of our hearts that we need to hear? Help me, Lord, to be diligent in obeying the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, as You guide and direct my steps as I declare Thy Word, Lord, use me to Your own glory, and use Your Word, Lord, to quicken, Lord, to regenerate sinners, if You would. And Father, to help Your people, to give comfort and peace and cheer to Your people. Reprove us, rebuke us, do whatever, Lord, You would be pleased to do. We just beg You, don't leave us to ourselves. And what You do, we will give You praise and glory for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. There's a lot of things I could say, I guess, about Brother Al. These guys have said many good things about him. And I'm sure everybody here who knows him could stand up and continue to speak kind words about Brother Al. He was indeed our friend. I believe he was a friend to us in front of our face, and he was a friend to us behind our back. And I believe that's what a genuine friend is. Amen. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. And so that's whether he's in our presence or he is not in our presence. He still loves us. And I'm very grateful for the friendship that I had with Brother Al Hayes. But I'm not going to say much about Brother Al Hayes this afternoon, because I feel that God's put it in my heart to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ and what a wonderful Savior that He is and how necessary that He is. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you've never been brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be a member of a church, but you are not saved. You may be religious. You may be head over heels in love with your denomination. But if you have not been saved by the grace of God, if you have not had Jesus Christ revealed to you, then you are lost. Amen. And you will finally wind up in hell, because hell fire, the wrath of God, is the consequences of an unrepentant life. Any individual who lives, I don't care if you live in the church, doesn't make any difference how good that you may think you are. If you have not been to the Lord Jesus Christ and had Him revealed to you, then you're lost. Now, Brother Al was an amener. When I would preach, he would amen. Amen. And you know, you hate to give up those ameners. But if he was here today, I promise you, I'm satisfied Brother Al would amen what I'm about to declare to you. I want you to listen carefully and listen intently. And I'll try to obey the Lord. I want to take my text from Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I want to title my message the same title that was given to the song that I just sang, Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Were it not for the divine intervention of our great God that's described in this verse in Matthew 1:21, where he said, His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
If it was not for this divine intervention of our great God in sending forth his mighty Son to pay the sin debt, then every one of us would be on the road to hell or already there.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is our only hope to escape from sin. Become a Baptist, if you will. Be as good a Baptist as you can possibly be. But that does not mean that you are going to go to heaven when you die.
Amen.
Have all the religion that you want to have. Do all the kind deeds that you want to do. But as Brother Barney has pointed out, even the good things that Brother Al did, this is not going to get Brother Al or anybody else into God's holy city. The only one who can get us there is Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
If He does not bring you to God, you can't get to Him any other way. You're an absolute cripple. You're worse than, as Brother Al right here toward the end, worse than a one-legged man. You have no leg at all, friend. You have nothing to stand on. You have nothing to bring you to God in and of yourself. If the Lord Jesus Christ does not bring you to this great God of glory, then you will not go to heaven when you leave this world. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to make what some people might consider to be some hard statements. And maybe a lot of people in our day think you shouldn't talk like this at a funeral. But I think this ought to be a testimony to every one of us that this world is not our home.
Amen.
That we are just passing through. Every one of us are pilgrims in this world. One of these days, the name on your mailbox is going to change, friend. One of these days, someone else may have your car keys in their pocket.
Amen.
The time is coming, you're going to have to leave this world. Nobody can stay here. Methuselah lived 969 years here, but the Bible said in Genesis 5, and he died.
Amen.
And the truth is, every one of us are going to leave this world. Whether you realize it or not, there's an exit sign hanging in the heavens of this world. And you and I must pass through that exit sign. And so it's very important that we understand the necessity, the absolute divine imperative that God has placed upon us to know intimately the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about knowing about Him up here.
Amen.
I'm talking about knowing Him in your heart, having a relationship with Him. Jesus said, except a man eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he don't have any part with me. He's talking about a vital union that God Himself is the only one can accomplish by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost in bringing us together in unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before God does this, we are absolutely opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in the Jesus that is described in the Bible.
Amen.
A lot of people talk about Jesus, but when they talk about Him, and I look at my Bible, I know they're not talking about the same one that the Bible describes.
Amen.
They talk about God, but they talk about a God who tolerates sin, who allows people to continue on in their sin, and even puts up with their excuses about their sin and their ungodly behavior. But I'll tell you, the God of the Bible does not tolerate sin. He does not join forces with sin. He's altogether against sin. He always has been, He is now, and He shall forever be against it.
Amen.
And that's the reason that we read in Matthew 1:21, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people, F-R-O-M, from their sins.
Amen.
If you're still in your sins, then you're not saved. You see, God don't just save us from hell and the wrath of God. He saves us from the consequences of sin, which is the wrath of God. You see, God disposes of those people who do not know Him and who do not love Him. He disposes of them. I don't know if you'll have this or not, but I believe it's the truth. Hell is God's garbage dump. Hell is where God takes the trash out. Now, I know that don't sound very good to us. You know, we like to be bragged on. We like to be spoken well of. But we need to hear the truth today, and that is that apart from Jesus Christ, when we leave this world, it's going to be like God taking out the trash and putting us in a place, dear friend, where we shall suffer for all eternity because of our persistence and consistence in sin, refusing to give it up, refusing to repent of it, and refusing to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen,
amen, Brother Al. I promise you, I believe you'd be amen in what I'm preaching. And he don't want me to dilly-dally around with his family. He wants me to tell you the truth. Surely he would.
Amen.
Oh, that's exactly what I want God's man to do. Who preaches my funeral when it comes my time. I want him to preach Christ. And I want him to glorify God in the message, preaching the truth of God. And if my family or my friends or my church family are offended by what comes across the pulpit, then friend, they'll just have to be offended. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our only hope of salvation from sin and the horrible consequences of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A divine imperative emphasized with that word M-U-S-T. Must. That's the reason the Lord Jesus used it in John 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me. That's more than coming to an altar. A lot of people come to an altar, but they don't get to God. They don't get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, our only hope is in Jesus Christ. We've got to get to Him. And we are so crippled, so dead in trespasses and sin, we cannot even will to know Him or to come to Him apart from the Holy Spirit of God creating such a will and such a thirst and such a hunger in us to where we'd rather have Him than church membership or religion any day.
Amen.
God hates sin. God has forgiven multitudes of sinners. But God has never forgiven sin. He's never sat down at a bargaining table with sin and signed a truce with it. God still hates sin as much today as He did when He saw it spring from the bosom of Lucifer. And when it was passed on, when it was born in Adam. And God, after all these millenniums, He still does not embrace sin, refuses to embrace sin. He'll have nothing to do with it. This is why His Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world. He came here to go to the cross to deal with sin.
Amen.
I've told our church many times, God understood that either He puts sin out of business or sin puts Him out of business. And so God came to do something about the sin problem. And every one of us has this sin problem. I went to my doctor yesterday, and he and I began to talk about the Lord and the things of God. And I was happy to hear him say to me, this is a new doctor. I'd never seen him before. But he said to me, in so many words, he said, Pastor, he said, we have a serious problem in these days with men in pulpits watering down the truth. He said, it's a serious problem. I said, thank you, sir. I'm glad to hear you say that. Because that is exactly right. People water down the truth about what God says about sin because they don't want to offend. And when you call a spade, somebody's going to get offended. But I'll tell you, I had much rather be offended by God so that I can later be comforted by God than to go on in my bed of ease and sin and wind up in hell.
Amen.
So, Holy Spirit, do the offending. Take your word and chop every one of us tall trees down. Bring us down to the ground. Enable us to see what we are apart from Christ, or we will never come to a place to where we will desire the Lord Jesus Christ to take us away from what we are and to make us what He would have us to be. Isaiah 52 and 10 said, "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." The Lord hath made bare His holy arm. Think about this. Because He tells us in the next chapter, Isaiah 53 and 1, who and what this holy arm is. And He describes there the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm preaching today on thanks to Calvary. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And then down through Isaiah 53, God begins to flex His muscle. He rolls up His sleeve and lets us see how He intends to deal with sin. And down through that blessed chapter, He describes in minute detail the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, who Himself was born of a virgin and who lived without sin in this world, and then died upon that cross, bearing the sins of His people to take our sins away. All down through that chapter, we see the arm of the Lord revealed. Do you know what God was doing Himself when Jesus was hanging on that cross? He was rolling up His own sleeve and taking the hammer of His wrath and His will. And He was striking great blows upon the head of His Son. And Jesus Christ was tasting death for me there.
Amen.
He was paying the price. Thanks to Calvary, sinners can be saved. But apart from Calvary, no one can be saved. Galatians 6:14, this is the very reason the Apostle Paul made this statement. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world."
Amen.
Paul said, it's by the cross work of Jesus Christ that a tremendous change has come into my life. He said, "I won't glory in Paul." He said, "I won't glory in the other apostles. I will not glory in the church." He loved the church. He wrote many epistles to the church. And he did all that he could to reach out to the sinner. He suffered many things, he said, for the elect's sake, that they also might obtain salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But Paul said, "I'm not glorying in anybody or anything except the cross, where Jesus Christ was crucified, where He paid the sin debt in full, and He made a change in me because I was crucified with Him. I'm crucified to this world," he said. I ask you, are you still in love with the world?
Amen.
"Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
Amen.
That's as crystal clear as it could possibly be. If you love the world system, and the ungodly, forbidden fruits of this world, then he says, the love of God is not in you.
Right. Amen.
And so you're not saved. Because when you get saved, Romans 5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that love of God is a love directed toward God.
Yes.
And what we used to love in this world system, the sin of it and such, we now hate.
Yes.
And the things that we used to hate, the holy character of God, the works of God, even the commands of God, we used to hate those, but today we love them.
Amen.
God's made a new creature out of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to take just a few minutes and give you a few scriptures that declares the truth I'm trying to express here this afternoon. In Romans 3:23, and I won't hold you but just a moment. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you believe that?
Amen.
You believe that to be so? Do you believe that includes you? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what I call the universal fall. Sin is a potent poison that covers the entire globe of humanity. Are you listening to me? Look here. This is what sin did to Brother Al. This is exactly what sin is going to do to every one of us. Because we are all sinners. Every one of us are guilty before God. And there's no good sinners and bad sinners. Just we're all a bunch of sinners who are greatly offensive to this great and holy God. When He looks our way according to the Scriptures, we can take it to verses in the Bible where God describes the condition that we are in as being sickening. Did not He say to the Laodicean church, "I'll spew you out of my mouth"?
Amen.
And that literally means to throw up. You've got to understand a little bit about the holiness of God to grasp this great truth in the Bible of how offensive that we are. I tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'm telling you again, God would carry us all to the trash pile.
Amen, brother.
1 Kings 8:46, "For there's no man that sinneth not." You say, "I don't." The Bible says you're a liar.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Luke 18:19, "None is good save one, that is God." Romans 3:10-12, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." How did we all get in this horrible and dangerous shape? Where did we drink this deadly concoction for which there is no human antidote? Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's where we got it. In the fall of our father Adam, every one of us in one sense is member of one big family. And that is that Adamic family. All of us came from Adam. And Adam and Eve in their fallen condition came together to produce those people who are after their own kind. And what is Adam and Eve in a fallen condition but sinners? And put two sinners together, they can't have nothing but a sinner. And the sinner, the sin line passes all the way down through my own dear mother and father whom I greatly love, right on to me, on to my children, my grandchildren. Every single one of us are sinners.
Amen.
Through no fault of God. Let's get that straight. It's not God's fault that we're sinners. Ecclesiastes 7:29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." When God made man, He didn't make a sinner. He made this man upright. Adam was innocent. He was not guilty. He was made in innocence. But he became a sinner when he exercised his will against the will of God.
Amen.
When he disobeyed God's clear command. And he fell into sin. A lot of things we could say about that. A lot of things I'm not going to be able to say here today. But if you'll talk with me later, I'll be glad to try to take it a little bit further. If there's anything you don't understand. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be a friend to you. A friend will tell you the truth.
Praise God.
You know, the Bible tells us, well, it said at least to the Jew in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 and 5 is a statement that we call the great Shema. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now this is what God requires. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. But in our fallen condition, friends, we do just the opposite.
Amen.
We hate the Lord our God with all our soul, all our heart, all our might. And we love, listen to me now, we love the Lord our sin. With all our soul, with all our heart, with all our might. This is our natural desire. It is for sin. This is the way we live. We're naturally inclined to that direction. And this is the way we naturally go. We came into this world in this bad shape. And we'll leave this world in this bad shape unless Jesus Christ comes to intervene for us.
Amen.
We as human beings are not all intelligent. We're not all ignorant. We're not all successful. We're not all failures. We're not all healthy. We're not all sick. We're not all mentally stable. We're not all mentally ill. We're not all rich. We're not all poor. But we are all, everyone without exception, sinners.
Amen.
Who have lived atrocious, offensive lives against the holiness of God, as we have all passionately and aggressively pursued sin with all of our affection and all of our will. No need for me to talk to you about Jesus Christ dying for sinners until you are interested. And you're not going to be interested until you realize what a great sinner you are. And we're going to have to quit comparing ourselves with one another. Compare yourself with Jesus Christ and see how you measure up. Stand beside Him who is altogether lovely in the eyes of a holy God. Stand beside Him who is perfect, who never spoke a wrong word, who never entertained a wrong thought, who never committed one single evil deed. He is the perfect one. Stand beside Him and see how you measure up. You can find something with me in just a little while. Brother Paul, Brother Barney, all of us, we can all stand and pick one another's feathers until every one of us are bald.
Amen.
Completely. But take a good look at Jesus Christ, the one that God sent down from heaven. Watch His virgin birth to make absolutely certain that He would not be born in that seat with that sin line. You watch Him as He behaved Himself in the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and listen from heaven when the Father Himself speaks and says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God has never said that about any of us outside Jesus Christ. A universal fall. In Acts 17 and 30 we read, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And that's what I call the universal call. In view of the criminal mind and actions of mankind against holy God, God's divinely appointed couriers or postmen or preachers has been sent forth by God to say to every man, woman, boy, and girl, repent. Repent. "Oh, preacher, I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't want to give up my sin. I want to enjoy sin on the way." Well, you can't go to heaven when you die if you're not willing to repent.
Amen.
Salvation is not in repentance. It's in Jesus Christ. But you cannot come to Christ without repenting of your sins. I went to a meeting last week for a few days, And somebody told me after I left that a preacher got up in the pulpit and said, "You can be saved without repenting." That's a lie.
Amen.
That's heresy. That's error. That's not true. And it'll damn anybody who believes it and embraces it. We must repent of our sin. And you can't even do that unless God gives you that precious gift of repentance. Because you're just a natural born sinner apart from that. It's a universal call. Repentance is something that we all have got. Every preacher, every God-called preacher in every generation has preached repentance. Every one of them without fail. All the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist comes on the scene preaching repent. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher who's ever been on this earth planet, stood up and said, "Repent or you'll perish." The only way to flee the wrath to come is to flee from sin. To the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn or burn. That's what the old timers used to preach. We've done come to a modern day now, and they're leaving repentance out. And as my doctor said, they're watering it all down, giving people what they want to hear rather than what they'd better hear. Jesus called upon every soul in His day to repent. Christ Jesus came into the world to save S-I-N-N-E-R-S, sinners. You say, "I'm not a sinner." Well, you don't qualify then. "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." It's a biblical truth here. While there is a universal call to all people to repent, only they who see themselves as hell-deserving sinners and desire to be freed from it obeys that gospel call. And they repent and are saved. As they come to Christ, as Christ is revealed to them. Let me hurry. Luke 14 and 18. "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." This is what I call the universal stall. They're stalling.
Amen.
It's the way it's been throughout human history. I'll take care of it, but not today. Procrastination. You know, probably the multitude. The most people in hell today have been procrastinators. You know, "I intend to take care of that, but right now I've got, you know, a few other irons in the fire. Got a few other seeds that I want to sow. A few other things I want to do." And so they continue on. It's a universal stall. Any one of us can make excuses about why we don't come to God. Some people will even take something that the Bible says, a doctrinal truth, and use that as an excuse for not coming to Christ. But none of our excuses is going to hold any water on the day of judgment.
Amen.
It's all just a universal stall. And then in Psalm 14 and 1 and Psalm 53 and 1 we read, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," just in case there are any among us.
Amen.
And this is what I call the universal gall. Can you imagine the gall of anybody who would stand up in the face of absolute perfect evidence all around us? And that person would stand up and say, "There is no God." You know what that is? That's wishful thinking on their part. They just wish there wasn't.
Amen.
If they could do away with God, they could do away with the judgment.
Yes.
And they could do away with the wrath of God. And they can go on their merry way sinning until their last breath upon this earth. "There is no God," they say. I ask them. They say, "I don't believe in God. I believe in science." Genuine science, that is science that has not been misread by scientists, genuine science does not conflict with God. God is the author of it.
Amen.
"The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Psalm 14, 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Psalm 53 and 1. In other words, almost as if you missed it the first time, I'll tell you again. And then Romans 1, 21. "Professing themselves to be wise, he said they became fools." I close. In Romans 3:23, the universal fall. Acts 17:30, the universal call. Luke 14 and 18, the universal stall. Psalm 14:1 and 53:1, the universal gall. I love John 6:37. Jesus said in that verse, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." All that the Father giveth. This is what I like to call the universal all. Is there anyone here who desires themselves to be found among this universal all? Then you have but to come to him. And he says, if you come to me, he said, I won't cast you out. All that the Father giveth me. Praise the Lord. That's a comfort to this poor old sinner.
Amen.
That God gave me to himself, to his Son, before the foundation of the world. He said, they shall come to me. And he said, I won't cast them out when they come. That's a guarantee, dear friend. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And he that cometh to Christ, God will in no wise cast out. And view the message that God has sent us today. We all have a universal need. Amen. Our universal need is to be freed from salvation. I'm sorry, from sin and the consequences of it. And our only hope for the entire universe is Jesus Christ. Is that right? And what the Bible teaches. And so I think maybe the song, Thanks to Calvary, seems to me like that the heart of it came from that 2 Corinthians 5:17. One of you fellows quoted. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Brother Al did love that hymn, that song, Thanks to Calvary.
Amen.
And anybody who is saved can understand why he would love that song.
Yes.
Have you been to Calvary, friend? I didn't ask you if you've come forward in a meeting. I didn't ask you if you've shook a preacher's hand. I didn't ask you if you're a member of a church. I didn't ask you if you have religion. I didn't ask you if you've given $1 million to feed the poor. I didn't ask you if you pushed a little kid out of the way of a speeding automobile. I didn't ask you that. I ask you, have you been to Calvary? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then you're not saved.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It is a bright light that shineth in a dark, dark world. Father, I ask you to seal this truth in each heart. And anyone here who is lost, we would love for them to come to Christ to be saved. We would rejoice in our good shepherd coming through this place and gathering his lost sheep to go away rejoicing. And Father, we would rejoice with him. We ask you to do your will and your work in any way that you see fit to do it. But please don't leave a one of us to ourselves, or we will perish. In Jesus' name and for his sake.